The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Praise to you,
Lord. Jesus was praying at a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice? Friends, the readings for our Mass this Lord's Day point us to reflect on the relationship of prayer, on the relationship of prayer. In that first reading, we see Abraham acting out this relationship of prayer with God. We see him exploring the limits of God's justice with each repeated question, lowering his number each time in search of the true answer to his first question: "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty?" Abraham has a true sense of justice, and so he is convinced of the truth that the innocent should not be swept away with the guilty. They should not be condemned in the same way. He acknowledges God as the all-powerful judge of the world, but he does not yet know whether God will act with justice, so he explores this with God. Now, Abraham also knows that God could strike him dead in an instant, and so he approaches the question humbly, not presuming to know God's will, but rather exploring the limits through his repeated questions, hoping to discover that the judge of all the world will act with justice and thus demonstrate himself honorable. Besides revealing to us that God is just and that he does act with justice, Abraham also demonstrates for us the relationship of prayer. That is, that prayer is not only transactional, but relational. You see, in a transactional style of prayer, something is asked of another and that other responds, either positively or negatively, right? Either, "Yes, I will give you that thing that you just asked for," or, "No, I won't give it to you." And if positively, well, perhaps then there's a cost for receiving the thing that was requested. "Yes, I will give you that, and this is how much it will cost you." Think of it as, I'm terribly, right? Think of it as going to McDonald's, right? You step forward and you ask, may I have a Happy Meal? And the clerk says, sure, that'll cost $5. Well, it's probably $10 now, right? That'll cost this much money. And so you hand over the money and the clerk hands you the Happy Meal and the transaction works as it was designed. Because our lives are filled with these kinds of transactions, it becomes very easy to take this approach when we pray. We believe, right? Rightfully so. We believe that God is all-powerful and so can provide us with whatever we need. And we also believe that he is good and that he wants to give us what we need. And so we approach him like we would a benefactor, right? Pleading with him for the thing that we need and hoping that he will respond generously to our request, always ready to offer something of ourselves as a payment for what we've received. This transactional style of prayer is a very natural and honest way to pray. Prayer that is a relationship, however, is much deeper. And it is the prayer that God desires for us. What Abraham demonstrates for us in the first reading is how prayer is a vehicle for coming to know God more deeply. You know, at that particular point in his life, Abraham had a long relationship with God. You know, God called Abraham out from his homeland to settle in a new land, and the book of Genesis documents that there were many twists and turns along the way. Thus, Abraham learned to trust in God and came to know himself and God more deeply. Nevertheless, when God expressed his intention to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was confronted with a question. Well, is God truly just? Will he sweep away the innocent with the guilty? He presumed that in a city, the city's the size of Sodom and Gomorrah, thousands of people, that there had to be at least a few just people, right? So Abraham's prayer then was about exploring this question with God. And he did so, I believe, for two reasons. One, so that he might know God more deeply. Are you a just God or are you not a just God, right? And two, so that he might test whether what he had come to know about God, that is, that he is just, was really true. Who do you say you are and who do you show yourself to be? And in doing so, Abraham's deeper question, should not the judge of all the world act with justice? A question that addresses Abraham's understanding of the very fundamental way of how the world works. Well, that also would be answered. Jesus' disciples observe Jesus in prayer and ask him to teach them how to pray. Jesus teaches them, giving them a form for and an attitude to take toward prayer. And in doing so, he teaches them something important about God and about prayer. First, God is our Father who wants only good things for us. And prayer is our way of engaging in and deepening our relationship with him. Then in the examples that he gives of persevering in prayer, Jesus is encouraging his disciples to be bold in exploring the limits of God's generosity, saying essentially that if you, sinful human beings, can be generous even when you are resistant to doing so, right? The friend who was in bed and locked doors and everything already, who didn't want to get up to give the bread, who eventually would get up anyway. If you who are sinful and thus resistant to giving generosity, who nonetheless still give generously, well, how much more is God, your Father, going to be, who is without sin and thus never resistant in his generosity? Thus, Jesus is teaching us, when we explore the limits of God's generosity in prayer, or his justice in the case of Abraham, well, we come to know him more deeply and intimately, and thus our relationship with him grows. And when our relationship with him grows, well, we grow in our trust of his providential care, And thus, we become more resilient to the struggles and challenges that we face every day because we trust in that care. And we also grow more capable of facing the bigger questions that the world and the way it operates often presents to us. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice? This was the bigger question that the world and God's actions presented to Abraham that day. And Abraham knew the answer to this question, right? He knew it already before he asked it. Well, yes, the judge of all the world should act with justice. What he needed to know, however, was whether the judge of all the world would act with justice, huh? So engaging his prayer as a relationship, Abraham explored this question with God, and he found his answer. God, the judge of the world, would not sweep the innocent away with the guilty, and thus he would act with justice. Hey, friends, what are the bigger questions that you are facing in your life today? What are the bigger questions that you are facing in your life today? I invite you, I urge you, challenge you even, to take some time to pause today, find some time today to pause and to try to name what those bigger questions are. What are the things that just gnaw at you, saying like, I just can't quite figure this out and I don't quite understand how God is working this out. Take some time today and try to name them, and then write them down on a piece of paper and focus on that question or those questions in prayer. You know, instead of simply asking God to give you an answer, right, in a transactional style, God, answer this question or fix this problem or do this thing, and then I will offer you X, Y, or Z. Well, see if you can engage God in prayer relationally, exploring the limits of his generosity or his justice or his mercy, whatever that bigger question you have demands. For in doing so, you will deepen your relationship with God and presumably your trust in him. This trust, this faith, will strengthen you to face the struggles and challenges that each day brings and will make you a more joyful witness of the call to relationship that God makes to each person, perhaps even leading some of those around you to respond to that same call from God. You know, the Mass is the preeminent place where we collectively exercise our relationship with God in prayer. So as we approach this altar today, let us give thanks for this gift. And let us commit ourselves to growing our relationship with God in prayer so that we might respond more joyfully to the struggles and challenges of our daily lives and thus be greater witnesses to God and his love in the world.